Thank you.
Let us see the back, eh?
Okay. I got this from my oldest son, Corey, I think as a birthday gift months ago. And I had it sitting in my dresser. I was just waiting. I don't really like being flashy. It's a pretty flashy shirt. But I went for the right day to wear it, I guess. I believe today is the right day. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is very strong.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Did anybody watch the return yesterday afternoon in Washington? How awesome was that? For those of you who didn't watch it, you can YouTube it. And I think it lasted 2.5 hours. Franklin Graham was leading it, and they had, I think, at least probably around 50,000 Christians there in D.C. Key leaders praying, Vice President Pence praying for the nation. They bring you to tears. And the Spirit is moving and confirming this in his church all over the nation.
Yeah.
People are praying and fasting. They recognize that we are at a turning point that'll affect future generations. And my little granddaughter last week was repeating, God is on the loose. God is on the loose. God is on the loose. He is on the loose. You can't contain that Holy Spirit of fire. And so this morning, you can see there are some prayer stations set up. And after the teaching, I'm going to call up the leaders to the stations. And we're going to spend the remainder of the service praying at the different stations. We'll spend 5 minutes at each station. At the end of 5 minutes, I'll say switch, and then we'll have the congregation switch to a different station so we cover all of them. And I was struck by what Franklin Graham said yesterday when a reporter asked him, if you could go back and do something different in your life and ministry, what would that be? And his statement was profound. He said, I would go back and I would preach less and pray more. In the book of Acts, they ran into a dilemma where there wasn't enough help. And the apostles made this statement. They said, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. As important as the ministry of the word is, prayer was put before the word in significance. So we are hearing a call across this nation and world to pray and to fast. So I want to bring a short word, hopefully, this morning on prayer and fasting. Because I believe that we are in a critical hour, that if we don't pray and fast, our nation will be lost forever. That's why the Spirit of God is moving and speaking to leader after leader, church after church, congregation after congregation, and they all have the same word of the Lord. It's time to pray and fast and seek his face. So I want to read out of Matthew chapter 17 this morning, 17 verses 14 through 21, the story about Jesus. Now, you can tell from the shirt that I have a mindset, and it's not to tiptoe through the tulips, it's to war. Now, I like flowers, and I believe Jesus does because he's the rose of Sharon. and the lily of the valley, but he is also a man of war. And it is a time for war for the church.
Yeah.
It's a time to put on her war shoes, war garments. And in Matthew chapter 17, it says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic or insane and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples. Now, who were the disciples? And what was a disciple? I covered that in some of the Kingdom Within. A disciple is a disciplined learner of a teacher. Okay? A disciplined learner or student of a teacher. So these were not just somebody off the streets. These were men that were walking with God himself, being trained with God himself. And they found themselves at a crossroads, and they could not understand why they were not effective. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Listen, society does not have the answers or the cure for the nation. The only one with the cure is you and I, the Church of the Most High God. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Jesus then answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. And that was a really nice, kind statement at the time. Jesus expected more. And listen, he expects more from you and I today. Amen?
Yeah.
How long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and it departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Listen, you have power and authority over all the power of the enemy. You've been given that because of Jesus' finished work on the cross. So the issue is not with the finished work. The issue is with the finished heart. Jesus said, if you had faith, this is interesting, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed to another place, and it would remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. However, this kind of spirit, this kind of dilemma, this kind of warfare, this kind of racism, this kind of wickedness in your nation can only go out by prayer and fasting. Listen, some things can only go out by prayer and fasting, and I believe some things can only come in to a nation by prayer and fasting. A brother called me yesterday and said, man, you've been on my heart all day. I was working yesterday driving. And I said, well, listen, bro, I don't know how to explain it to you. I feel like I have spiritual Alzheimer's. No, I'm serious. Like, I can't even think with my own mind because of the warfare. I can't reason. I can't function with my five senses. All I can do is pray in the Spirit. That is it. That is the only victory that I can do. So that's what I keep doing every day for the most part. Praying in tongues, hour after hour after hour after hour. We need to realize the magnitude of the battle that is facing the nation. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we're going to see victory in this nation.
Yeah.
I said, we're going to see victory in this nation in Jesus' name. I don't know what mindset you've got. I've only got one mindset, victory in Jesus. So unbelief, the definition of unbelief is weakness or a lack of faith. Weakness or a lack of faith. It didn't mean that the disciples didn't have authority, that they did. It didn't mean that the disciples didn't have power, they did. What it meant was that they just didn't have enough faith. The remedy for enough faith or lack of faith is prayer and fasting. That's the way the flesh decreases and the spirit increases. Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. The disciples of John the Baptizer approached Jesus with this question. Why is it that we and the Pharisees fast regularly, but not your disciples? You know, fasting can be a religious thing. It could be a prideful thing if you don't have the right attitude. And this was the Pharisees' attitude. They had a religious, self-righteous attitude that they were better than anyone else. Jesus replied, how can the sons of the bridal chamber grieve when the bridegroom is next to them? But the days of fasting, everybody say the days of fasting, will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them. Where is the bridegroom right now? He's up in heaven at the right hand of the Father. So what are the days of fasting? Now. Great. By the way, Luke 18:12, you can look it up. That's where the Pharisees said, I fast twice a week. So if religious people were fasting twice a week, what could the righteous do and see if they would fast twice a week? Matthew 16, 17, and 18 says, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. God looks at every sacrifice the same. If you're sacrificing coffee, if you're sacrificing sugar, which I'm trying to do, and I have two sweet tooth, by the way. If you're fasting entertainment, if you're fasting Facebook, if you're fasting phone calls, God looks at the heart of what you decide in secret to give to Him. But let me say, the more powerful the fast, the more effective your results will be. Biblical fasting and abstaining from food and water for a season. So what you can do, what I have done at times, I would skip a meal and just drink juice and substitute a meal. However God leads you, He will look at that sacrifice. But there is something powerful of abstaining from food and even water for a season. Second Corinthians chapter 6, Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, who spent most of his time in prison writing the New Testament. What do you have to do in prison? Well, you probably have time to fast and pray in prison. And I want to tell you, by the Spirit, there is a grace to fast right now. There is a supernatural grace to fast when you make up your mind and are committed to fasting. Paul gives this answer in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 as a minister, in as approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions and necessities and distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watching, and in fastings. He has made us kings and priests unto God, ministers of the Most High. We all are ministers in our area of influence. And we are going to see results like never before. If you will commit to prayer and fasting, I promise you, your life will be changed, and your influence and your family and your relatives will be changed forever. Second Corinthians chapter 11, Paul goes on to say, in toil. Now this is his job reference. In toil and hardships, watching often through sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, frequently driven to fasting by want. Listen, I found out this thing recently. I purposely am trying to stay away from people more. Let me finish. Not that I don't like people, because I can't escape them wherever I go. But I'm trying to talk less on the phone. I'm trying to stay off social apps more so I can give myself more to being with Jesus. But it seems like the more I try to stay away, the more people find me. And it's ordained by the Lord himself. So I need, and you need, spiritual strength for what's coming. Because you can run and you can hide, but people are going to seek you out because you have the answer. And listen, I love to help people out. I love to give myself to you and those in need. I'm not complaining. I'm not doing it begrudgingly, although sometimes my flesh does get irritated and frustrated with people. But it's on to the Lord. And there are people that are going to fill this place continually that need your help. Yeah. You have the answer that certain people are looking for that no one else has. And so Paul says, and beside all these things, Bruce, Terry, that are outside, there is a daily inescapable pressure of my care. I don't like the word anxiety, but I'll put concern there, for all the churches. Listen, you need endurance to run the race that's set before you right now. You need supernatural power and grace to stay the course right now, and the only way you're going to get it is through prayer and fasting. That's the only way. Because when you decrease, the Spirit increases and supernaturally charges your life with power. So Paul said, I fast all the time. I know of this minister who fasts every other day. So he's been doing it for like 30 years, so he's fasted 15 years of his entire life. That is a sacrifice. But he's also seen every part of the human body either healed or recreated. He's seen by his own hand 33 or 34 people raised from the dead. That's what Jesus said. Remember the kingdom within? Preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. Why could not the Spirit come out, Jesus? Because it only comes out by prayer and fasting. Certain strongholds over this nation are not going to come down but by prayer and fasting. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Somebody timing my message this morning? Try to hold me at 20, 22 minutes. Listen, I really don't want to rush at all this morning. I want to try to convey to you the seriousness of this service and what God is about to do in the service. Okay, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, everybody say above all, taking the shield of faith. I forgot to mention when I was talking to my friend, I told him I thought I had spiritual Alzheimer's. He said to me, it's your faith, bro, that's being strengthened right now. Jude said to pray and build yourself up in your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can today in Jesus' name. And you can speak with other tongues of men and of angels. It is for you today. The devil can go to hell. It is for today. It has not passed away. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication, how? In the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let me tell you a thing this morning. You are not warring against Washington. You are not warring against the Republicans nor the Democrats. Your war is a spiritual war that is afflicting and wanting to destroy the Word of God in this nation. So let me tell you a really brief understanding of what these different ranks of demonic powers are that are operating in this nation. Principalities, number one, are ruling spirits assigned over nations and cities. Principalities are the highest of the rankings in the enemy's domain. They have been delegated the power to influence the affairs of nations and kingdoms and to resist God's purposes concerning these nations and kingdoms. Powers. Powers are the second level of authority in Satan's kingdom. They exert their authority over the decision-making bodies of a nation, influencing the structures of all the governing authorities and promoting wickedness and injustice by controlling lawmakers, policymakers, and counselors in places of authority in the land. Does that sound like our nation this morning? Rulers of darkness. These powers are mandated by the devil to promote false religions and occult practices, thereby enslaving the souls of men in deception. Listen, last night, after I was watching The Return, for some reason, I don't know how I even got on the clip on YouTube, there was a YouTube of shaman from the country of Peru doing witchcraft and spells to stop President Trump from coming back into office and to see Joe Biden become the president of the United States. In Peru, in the country of Peru, they are speaking spells every Tuesday and Friday up to the elections to stop the President Trump from being reelected in office. That's just one country, but it's worldwide. That's what you're up against. And the only way to defeat these principalities, you cannot cast them out. You have to pull them down through prayer and fasting. And the final, spiritual hosts of wickedness. After powers come spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly realms. They promote lawlessness. What's been happening in your city? Lawlessness and wickedness in the land, ensnaring souls of men in all manner of abominable sins. That's what we're up against, church. We're not warring against people. We're warring against a kingdom that is in opposition to the kingdom of light. Bande lehe sota la hasa. Mondala ki sondolo hose. Listen, I'm telling you, God is a man of war. Yeah. This is the line today. This is the line in the church today. We need to be in prayer and fasting for our nation. We need to be in prayer and fasting for our church. Listen, the weakest thing in our church is prayer, and I'm going to say it. It used to be the strongest thing in our church, and it's become the weakest. Why? Because the enemy knows that this kind can only go out through prayer and fasting. It's just not enough to pray with yourself or with your spouse. You must be with other believers in corporate agreement for this day and hour. Listen, I'll get my own amen coming from heaven right now.
Jangling of the gates, and they're waiting for God to dispatch, and it's going to happen. Hallelujah.
Woo! Hallelujah. Which will bring me to my next portion of scripture, Daniel. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 10. There are more for us than those that are against us.
That's right. Come on.
There are more for you than those that are against you. Go to Daniel chapter 10. I'm going to jump around Daniel chapter 10, but I want you to see the significance of that word and the scriptures, and you can see from the word of God what is happening in the spiritual realm right now. I'll start with verses 2 and 3. When this vision came to me, Tracy. Daniel had been in mourning or fasting for 3 whole weeks. All that time I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips, and I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. He was on a vegetable fast and fruit. Verse 12. Then he said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel." Now he gets visited by an angel, an angelic host, which was Gabriel. "Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven." When did Daniel's prayer get heard? The first day he prayed. When are your prayers heard? The first day or moment you pray. Why aren't they answered the first day you pray? Is God sleeping? Is he on a journey? Is he too busy talking to the angels? Then why aren't your prayers answered immediately? Let's find out. "I have come in answer to your prayer." Verse 13. "But for 21 days, the spirit prince or principality of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way." Are you kidding me? The devil has the audacity to block your way? Yes, he does, and he will. Paul said, "I would have come to you many times." Paul, the dude who fasted all the time, who wrote most of the New Testament, he said, "But Satan hindered me." Don't get mad at God when your prayers are not answered. God hears the first day. Get mad at the devil who is blocking your way and push him out of the way in Jesus' name. "Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia." So Gabriel had to have Michael come to fight with the principality so Gabriel could break through and give Daniel, the Christian, the answer that he prayed for the first day. Everything that is happening in Washington to block the righteous and the laws of God from coming forth are principalities and powers of darkness. They're blocking it. They're twisting it. They're twisting the people that are in authority. "Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered." Now, I am here. Just think if Daniel would have quit after the 20th day. Bye-bye answer. Think about it. At the 20th day, if he would have quit praying and fasting, Gabriel would not have broken through. Are you understanding the significance from now until the elections, what is happening in the spiritual realm? And if we don't pray and fast, heaven will not break through. Oh, God can do anything he wants, anytime he wants. No, he can't. God is bound by his word. God has set laws and principles that govern the universe through his word. And he said, "I've given you power and authority. You do something about it. I did something 2,000 years ago. Now enforce what I've done. It's finished." The ball's in your hand, church. Don't blame God if things don't turn around. Blame the church, and rightly so. But we're not going to drop the ball in our watch. Everybody say, not on my watch. If one can chase 1,000 and two could put 10,000 to flight, what could this body do in the spiritual realm? I feel hell shivering right now and trembling. Now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future. What happens in November will affect future generations. For the better or for the worse. Your children, my children, and grandchildren will be affected. Infected. For this vision concerns a time yet to come. God is gracious. He's giving us a time, a short, short time to change history. He replied, do you know why I have come? Yes, yes, Lord, we know why you have come to this nation for such a time as this. Soon I must return to fight against the prince, spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now listen, and after that, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece, after that, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece is going to come. Listen, you just started a fight this morning by coming. You just picked a fight with hell this morning. Don't think the devil's going to sit back and the powers and the demons and just let you have your way. No, I'm here to tell you all hell is going to break loose against you. But you can expect all of heaven to back you up. I know firsthand by experience, especially when I deliver a message like this, the wrath of hell is coming. So I have to pray and fast because I know it's coming. Any good soldier who's ready for battle knows the battle is eventually going to come and they stay prepared, right, bro? They're always ready. You don't walk away and get ready. Jesus lived a life of prayer and fasting. That's why he came down to the guy who was lunatic and cast the demon out in the same hour, because he was already prayed and fasted up. Amen? Meanwhile, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one helps me against these spirit princes except Michael, your spirit prince. Hallelujah. And in Luke chapter 10, I'm going to close with this morning. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20 in the Passion Translation. When the 70 missionaries returned to Jesus, they were ecstatic with joy, telling him, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we commanded them in your name. Now listen, this is so awesome. Listen. Jesus replied, while you were ministering, I'm feeling that ecstatic joy right now. I'm telling you, it's supernatural joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's fearless. It's not intimidated. It doesn't back off. It's in your face. Ha, ha, ha. You're going to lose, you and your whole family. Do I feel it? Wow, I feel it. Hallelujah. While you were ministering, while you were praying, while you were fasting, I watched Satan topple until he fell suddenly from heaven like lightning to the ground. That's the power and authority you carry. While you were doing it, I watched the principalities and powers and rulers and Pandele, I'm talking to you right now as you're watching me. I watched you fall like lightning over this nation to the ground. In Jesus' name. I don't know if you feel it. I feel right what I feel right now, but I'm looking at them face to face. And I'll watch you with ecstatic joy in Jesus' name be destroyed.
Amen.
Now you understand. Now you understand. Now you understand that I have imparted to you all, everybody say all, my authority to trample over his kingdom. You, I've imparted it to. You do something about it. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power. Everybody say every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in my authority. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you or your sons and daughters or your grandchildren as you walk in my authority. God's authority! However, your real source of joy, everyone say joy, isn't merely that these spirits submit to your authority, your delegated God-given authority that I have given you, but that your names are written in the journals of heaven and that you belong to God's kingdom. This is the true source of your authority. Hallelujah. So this morning, we have these different prayer stations set up. I'm going to go quickly through what these stations are. And as I go through them, I'm going to ask the leaders to come up and stand by their stations if they can. If they can't, please sit in the front pews. But the first station will be the stations of infants, children, and youth. So if you could make your way up. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, 14 and 15, "Let the little children come to me and don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these little children." I'm telling you, we are going to see abortion demolished in this nation. And he placed his hands on their heads and blessed them before he left. The next station is on repentance. Luke 24 and verse 24, verse 47. "It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent." The next station will be on elections and constitutional freedom. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. "Most of all, I am writing to encourage you to pray with gratitude to God. Pray for all men with all forms of prayers and requests as you intercede with intense passion." Listen, it's going to get passionate in this place in a few moments. So don't get freaked out when people start wailing and weeping in intercession. And pray for every political leader and representative so that we would be able to live tranquil, undisturbed lives as we worship the awe-inspiring God with pure hearts. The next area is abuse. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6. But if anyone abuses one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for him to have a heavy boulder tied around his neck and be hurled into the deepest sea than to face the punishment he deserves. 60 million babies are crying out for justice. The next area is unity. Psalms 133, 1 through 3. But how truly and delightful and wonderful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It's as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. From this realm of sweet harmony, God will release his eternal blessing, the promise of life forever. And the last area is revival. Psalms 85, verses 6 and 7. Revive us again, O God. I know you will. Do you know that God will revive us again if we will cry and humble ourselves before him? Give us a fresh start. Then all your people will taste your joy and gladness. Pour out even more of your love on us. Reveal more of your kindness and restore us back to you. That is the heart of your Father for you, for your loved ones, and for the nation this morning. Hallelujah. So I'd like you to invite you to come now to these stations. Whatever station the Holy Spirit is leading you, we'll begin here as I see everybody up here. Then in 5-minute increments, I'll say time to switch and move to another station so that we cover every one of these stations. So from here on out, I'm going to turn it over to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of intercession, I ask to come right now to intercede for the saints and through the saints for this nation. Come, Holy Spirit. So please start making your way up as I'm praying right now. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Now, for some reason, if you can't make it up here, if you can't move, I would encourage you to move because you'll probably get healed as you move. But if for some reason you can't, just agree at these different stations. So go ahead and start. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no restriction on passion or intensity or sound this morning. Be released to cry out, to weep, to moan. Lift up your voices. Father, be ready.
Joy of
Hallelujah. Go ahead and make a shift. Stay in attitude of prayer. Go ahead and make your shift. Speak in the spirit, speak in tongues. Encourage the body to pray. Don't let the leaders do all the praying. Step in and pray. Be bold. Hallelujah. They're here to empower you to pray. Hallelujah.
Thank you.